Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, 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 shalom. Welcome once again. Thanks for joining the Hebrew Israelite Nation Elders. Tonight we're going to be talking about in Western society, and that's where many of us reside who are listening to us tonight, in Western society, dating. You know that thing that they talk about so much when a young man and young lady goes out, or it could be an older man and older lady. In Western society, dating is equivalent to whoring. And Israelites, unfortunately, we have become a nation of whores and whoremongers. So stay with us tonight. We're going to bring that out in more detail. Tonight we have with us Elder Eber, and we have Elder Yael, and myself, Elder Uliah. And Elder Eber, I'm going to bring you right up now to talk about the scripture.
Okay. Toda, toda, Elder Uliah, for the opening remarks. And tonight, our scripture reading will be taken from 1 Corinthians 6. And I'll be reading 9 and 10. And it reads, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the reign of Yah? Do not be deceived. Neither those who war, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infeminate, nor homosexual, nor thieves, nor greedy of gain, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the reign of Yah. None of these family will inherit the reign of Yah." Tonight, we'll make it clear and bring to you a real clear picture and everything that I've just read. That in the reading of 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10.
All right. Toda, Elder, for that reading scripture, Elder Eber, and Toda, Elder Uliah, for the opening statements, the introduction, and so forth. All right. So, hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome, welcome again to the Hebrew Israelite elders of the Hebrew Israelite nation. We're coming to you again. We're continuing on with the information, this message that we've been bringing to you for the last couple of weeks. We definitely want to make it clear, you know, about what we're saying. And most of all, I want to make sure you recognize that what Yah gives us from the beginning, okay, don't let nobody come along and tell you, you know, his laws and his you don't have a duty to keep his commandments and keep his laws and be obedient to him, you know. Because after all, we got a Jesus now. We don't have an old God, Yah, in the Old Testament. We have the new God, Jesus. Okay, so you know, I just want to bring these first things out on this program tonight, so that you, when you hear this, and the reason I'm bringing this out like this, because I was witnessing to a young lady, you know. And that was one of the first things that she came out her mouth with. "Oh, man, oh, so much done changed now. And so we can't even know what to do. You know, we're just in confusion. Too much just done changed, you know." And so I just had to think about that, what she had said. And I said, you know, somebody is missing. Somebody ain't teaching somebody something, you know. Evidently, they don't know who. Yeah, they hadn't even understood what it meant when Yah says, "I change not," you know. They didn't get it, apparently, you know. Even when Yahushua himself said, "Not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And the problem, I think, with that all be fulfilling thing is they get that confused, you know. They think they create it in their mind, or these teachers out there in these churches, you know, make them think that means he's done away with it all, you know. So naturally, we're free to spin all we want to now because we got Jesus, you know. So I just want to bring this little information here out before we get too far gone, because I think this is important, you know. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to start looking at something here in the book of Jude, okay. And that's the last book. That's the book next to the last book of Revelation, Jude. It's just one chapter, right? I want to start looking at that first, okay? And I'm going to start with the 14th verse, okay? And it says here, now in this book it says, and Henoch, you know? But we know he's talking about Enoch, just in case, because you may be more familiar with Enoch, you know, instead of the word Henoch. Okay, so here we go. It says, the seventh from Adam also prophesied of these sayings. They see, Yah comes with his myriads of set-apart ones to execute judgment on all, to punish all who are wicked among them concerning all their wicked works, which they have committed in a wicked way, and concerning all the harsh words which wicked sinners have spoken against him. You see? So now, I want you to see that because you don't see the book Enoch, the book of Enoch. You don't, somehow those early Christians thought it was better to just leave that out of the scriptures, you know? But you see, I just read this in the New Testament, okay? It says, and Enoch, okay? So we know this is a legitimate scripture here also because in his book, Enoch, I'm going to look at the second chapter, the second verse, okay? And I'm going to read this because we got to know and understand that Yah does not change when we see, says it in Malachi, the book of Malachi. You know, he says, behold, I change not, all right? So let's look at it in Enoch chapter 2, verse 2. Enoch wrote, consider the earth and give understanding to the things which take place on it from start to finish, how steadfast they are, okay? How none of the things on the earth change. In other words, talking about his whatever he set up, that's it. It was forever. It was done perfect. So there is no need for it to change, okay? Because if it changes, then it's imperfect. It must not be perfect, okay? But all the works of Yah appear to you, okay? So now let's don't think that we can hide behind an excuse, you know, talking about everything done changed. I can't understand nothing. Can't be the way it was, you know, and all that. Okay? So we want to be clear on that so that you don't get deceived. Okay? We don't want you to deceive yourself at all. Okay? Now, with that being said, I want to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Okay? Because like I said, we're going to be talking about some things here on this program. And some people, what is this? Okay, I don't understand what that means, 90 seconds. Sound like the program is fixing to cut off. Do y'all hear that, 90 seconds, elders?
Not in the air, though.
No, we don't hear it, elder.
Okay, so I don't know what it's talking about, but it said 90 seconds. Okay, but I'm going to keep going anyway, okay? Because I'm going to read it. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. If we get cut off, I don't know what's going on because we got the same program for 2 hours tonight. All right. When Yah, your father, brings you into the land which you go to possess, he shall also clear away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Yebusites, seven nations greater, okay? Greater and mightier than you, okay? This is what Yah told our ancestors when he got ready to bring them into the land of promise, right? And it says here, and when Yah your father gives them over to you, you shall strike them and put them under the ban, completely make no covenant with them and show them no favor and do not intermarry with them. You do not give your daughter to his son, and you do not take his daughter for your son. Okay, that's clear. That's in the law. This is the law okay. that Yahushua said, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Okay? For he turned, because in why he turns your sons away from following me to serve other mighty ones, then the displeasure of Yah shall burn against you and promptly destroy you. Okay? So we actually off. I mean, but anyway, we're going to continue on. So as you can see that this is what's going on, all right? We're still on the air. It's just that it went into a situation here for some reason. Can't nobody else call in and be join us. But, you know, those of us who are in, we're okay. Okay. It says, for he turns away your sons from following me to serve other mighty ones. Then the displeasure of Yah shall burn against you and promptly destroy you. Now, he said that right after he talking about us, our men, you know, going after, whoring after these Gentile women, okay? And so, and he instructs us as to what to do when we were brought into these those lands back then. But this is what you do to them. Break down their slaughter places, places of worship, and smash their pillars and cut down their asherim and burn their carved images with fire, you know. And I guarantee you that's still in today, in these times, it includes that old cross everybody's walking around here with, okay? Some hanging around their neck, some hanging it in their cars, some hanging it around in their house and in their churches everywhere, okay? All right, well, you are a set-apart people to Yah, your Father. Yah, your Father has chosen you to be a people for himself, a treasured possession above all the people on the face of the earth. You see? And that's what Yah is saying about us, his people. Okay? We are his people. We are the Abraham's seed. Okay? And it says, Yah did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more numerous than any other people, for you were the least of all people. But because of Yah loving you and because of him guarding the oath which he swore to your fathers, Yah has brought you out with a strong hand and ransomed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, sovereign of Mizraim. Okay? So this is what Yah is telling us. Remember all of these things, okay? And now, here we go. And because of this command that he gave us, do not intermarry, okay? And you know, we see it all over the place, right? Right now, you know, again, those people that you're talking about, you saw Elder Eliah over the internet, how they boasting and so forth. They all love like us and so forth, you know? And it's like they in heat for these Gentile women, you know? And so we see these things, but we want people to take notice that that is against Yah's commandment, okay? It is against his law. And one thing I was going to kind of bring out, I want to bring out a few of them anyway, because we want to see who is actually leading out in this stuff, in out amongst our people, okay? And it's these Hollywood gang out there. It's a lot of them, you know? They have turned into, and I don't understand it, but it just doesn't happen, okay? I'm going to start out with one that is very familiar with a lot of people, Brad Pitt, okay? He dated a Hebrew lady named Sonetta, okay? And, of course, I think he was dating her around 1980 or something like that. Another Gentile, Phil Collins, Helen L. Simmons, a fashion designer. You know, he done jumped on her. He got her. And they done, in other words, went after him, them, and so forth. They all just are going after each other, you know, flatly breaking these laws that God's given us. And maybe, who knows, some of these people may not even realize that, you know, and that's why we're trying to bring it to the light, so that, you know, maybe they'll get an opportunity to realize what has took place, and they can try to correct it, because we want to see, as we continue on this in this program in the weeks to come, we want to be able to show the very exact situation, condition that the nation of Israel, us, our people, our ancestors, had gotten themselves into, the condition, the way they had gotten themselves into, right at the end of the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, okay? We can see it in the book of Ezra, in the book of Nehemiah. We can see these things, how they had to actually divorce these women, okay? They had to get rid of those women in order for they were to be, in order before they went into the promised land, you know? And we'll see that. We'll see how they left these people. I mean, they had to just break up. Just that simple. You know, even if you had kids, you know, and it was just a situation like that. And so we don't know. Since we're coming up on the end of the 400 years, prophecy that Yah told Abraham, his seed will be over here in this crazy place for 400 years. And now when we see all of these, everybody running after each other, you know, Gentiles running after the Jews and the Jews running after the Gentiles, you know, it just sickening, because especially when you know that is against the commandments of Yah, and yet you've got all of these people out there that's well-known people that the world, a lot of our people, look up to, you know. For instance, Whoopi Goldberg, you know, she's married to some Gentile, okay? We just see it everywhere. We got a whole bunch up there. I don't know if I could even name it all. I won't even try to name them all. I just want to make mention of some of them that we know, you know, we can just simply know and recognize as soon as we hear the name, okay? So this is what I'm saying. This is what Israel has come to. This is what we have come to. In fact, let me say this real quick, and I'm going to get on off, let one of you other elders come on up, okay? It just so happened I did have a dream last night about this, about something, but the way it went, it was like I was in this gym working out, and I'd left my wallet at one station, one of those workout stations, and somebody had invited me to go over to another room. And so I said, okay, we're going to go. And so I just thought I'd just leave my wallet there, you know. But it just so happened when we got here to walk out the door, there was a woman there. And this woman was kind of a person that was in an authoritative position at that workout place, at that spot. And when I got ready to go out of the door, she said, this is what Israel has come to. You know, and it was like she was pointing back to something. I still don't know, but all I know, this is what Israel has come to, you know. And so as soon as she said that, I noticed, I said, whoops, whoa, let me go before I go out of this door. I better not leave my wallet over there. I better turn around and get it. And that's what I did. I attempted to go back to get my wallet, and then I was going to go on out. But at that point, that's where I woke up at, you know. And I said, hallelujah. So maybe Yah was trying to tell us something then, you know. And I'm going to be talking about that at some point. But it's just amazing, you know, how we see all of these different Jews and these Gentiles running after each other, okay? I mean, it's just like they just can't, it's kind of like really during the time when enslaved, back in the slavery days, you know, these Gentiles, they still was messing with the Jews. They just had to have her on the side and in front of everybody. They had the Gentile wife, you know, and so it's kind of some of the same stuff, like, you know, when we see stuff like this, you know, and so it's just amazing, you know. And so, Elder, I guess I could let one of y'all come on up because of that, something that's going on with the time frame here on this program tonight. And we're going to go ahead and do it because we have at least 1 hour, at least 1 hour, because I thought we programmed this for 2 hours tonight. And I'm not sure what really happened, but we can continue on until we finally run on out, okay? All right. So, Elder, if one of y'all needs to come on up now, go ahead.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Elder. Well, tonight, Israel, we're just going to give you a state of the union, a state of the nation of Israel address. You know, I doubt on Trump. Well, I don't know if all the presidents give a state of the union address once a year. Well, we're going to talk about the state of Israel, and I mean true Israel, not those people over in the land of Israel today, not the Ashkenazis, not the Khazar. We're talking about a state of the descendants of slaves who come across the Atlantic. Where are we today, Israel? And I'm not just talking about economically, you know, how we're doing, and how we've progressed in the politically and educationally, but the main thing, spiritually, where are we in the sight of Yah today? Well, just like we read from the start, society, what they call dating is nothing more than whoring. And we're glad, those of you who stayed with us, that you stayed this long. Because the Israelites, you have indeed become a nation of whores. Now, before we go into it, we want to make this plain. We, as a nation of people, we are not wired of the nation. The Israel always wanted to emulate, copy the other nation. It's like they looked over the fence. They saw that nation had a king. They wanted a king. You know, they saw that nation practicing the dark art, witchcraft and everything. They wanted to practice the dark art. Israel has always been fascinated, had a curious eye for evil. But Israel, you have to go back to your roots. You have to go back to your calling. You were called with a holy call. And I'm going to read that out in Scripture. Back on Mount Sinai, when Yah called Moses to the mount to make the initial covenant with his people, that's in the book of Exodus 19. And I'll just read this one verse for time's sake. Verse 6. He says, "And ye shall be unto me," talking about us as a people, our foreparents, "ye shall be unto me," unto Yah, a kingdom of priests." A kingdom of priests. That means you're a royal ambassador. You're a representative. You're an agent for Yah. He say, "And holy nation." You be a set apart nation, a set apart people. That's what Yah called for us. We are unique. We're programmed different. We're a set-apart people. We were called to be a nation of priests and ambassadors, like Yah's own private agent on the earth. And see, when we walk in accordance to that high calling, Yah promises to bless us and set us above all the other nations of the earth. He said it right here in his word, the very next scripture. He says, excuse me, I think that's up above. He says, give me a second here. That's a verse prior to verse 6. That's verse 5. It says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice," he's always looking for obedient servants. He says, "and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." Above all the other nations of the earth. Say, "for all the earth is mine." So So when we walk in accordance to Yah's calling, he promises to set us above all the other nations. But when we walk contrary to our calling, which we did, which our foreparents did, and which we're doing today, he promised to punish us. You've heard of the curses in Deuteronomy 28. Punish us more severe than the other nations. And there's a reason for that. You say, well, why did he put us through all this pain? Why he punishes us so severe? Well, it's a reason for that, because are you actual sons and daughters, or are you bastards? See, Yah looks at us as his own sons and daughters. Child that he chastises not. If he didn't chastise you, if he didn't give you correction, he said you would be a bastard. He'd be treating you like a bastard. He'd be treating you like an illegitimate offspring. But Yah treats us as his children. That's why the curses are so severe. But the choice was ours and our foreparents, and we both chose to walk contrary to our sacred calling. And now look what's happening. Now we're paying the price. Foreparents also paid the price. That's why we're now the borrower and we're not the lender. That's why we're below, at the very bottom of every meaningful statistical category in society. You could say economically, educationally, politically, and we're not above. That's why the stranger comes in and get high up above us. You know, people love to throw in, oh, blacks and Hispanics, this. You turn on CNN and you hear some black commentator or something, and they'll say, well, you know, whites are in this area, but blacks and Hispanics are being treated like Hispanic people. Say, don't be putting us in your category. We're doing better than you. Came here and we're still coming. We're coming by the thousands every day, whether it's tunnels or over the fence or however. Time they get here, they have a plan. They stay with each other. They work hard. They get businesses, and they move out, and they expand again, and they send money back home. Now, I don't know about the area you guys live in, but the Mexican restaurants where I live, man, you can't find a parking space. Those businesses are flourishing.
Okay.
Listen to the Hispanic people. They say, don't put me in your boat. When you say black and Hispanic, leave Hispanic out. That's you guys. I don't blame them. But you got these guys on, these idiots on the streets with the clown uniforms in New York and other cities, preaching all that foolish mess, talking about the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans all the same. That's a lie. Hispanics are not the descendants of Israel, not Euro-Hispanic. Now, of course, there was a contingent of slaves that went into Mexico in the 1500s. Those are our brethren. It's not many of them, but those are our brethren, yes. They're talking about those Hispanics, but they're not just talking about those Hispanics. The Negritos, those are black, people in the Caribbean, just like those of us here in North America, just like some of our brothers in South America, Colombia, Brazil. But to say that the Euro-Hispanics are Israelites is another false doctrine. Matter of fact, besides these people telling the blacks, the descendants of slaves, that we are indeed the true children of Israel, besides them telling you that, I would throw away everything those guys are saying. They're demonic, they're full of lies, and full of false doctrine. And Yah has already started dealing with them. You know, it's too much to tell, but Yah has already started crumbling their leadership. And I say hallelujah to that. So, instead of, when we don't take heed to his holy calling, instead of being at the top, we're at the bottom. That's why he says, and also Deuteronomy 28, that's why we're in want of all things. We're at the mercy. This adds insult to injury. We're at the mercy of our spiritual enemy. See, the one Yah calls him our enemy. We're at the mercy of our spiritual enemy. We're at one of all things. The mercy of our spiritual enemy to provide for us the basic necessities of life. That's a bad position to be in. You know, people that hate you, they imprisoned you, they enslaved you, but here we are, so-called free, but we're really not. We'll get to that. We're still in mental slavery. But here we are, the people who once had us in physical chains, now we're dependent on those same people to provide the basic necessities of life for us, like a means of income, food, shelter, clothing, sick hygiene products, and toiletries. That's who we're providing on. But don't tell me we're not in a pitiful shape. And because we turned our noses up at the Most High, we actually gave him the middle finger, so to speak. We walked contrary to his laws and commandments. We rebelled against him. Since we rebelled against him, we actually became witches and warlocks in his sight. He said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23. We have now become, back to the beginning, we have now become a nation of whores and whoremongers. Where did we get it from? You don't think this was a learned behavior? How did we get there? Following the ways and practices of our captors, walking in direct disobedience to the commands of the Most High. When he said in his word, learn not the way of the heathen. You know what he's actually saying there? That's in Jeremiah 10:2. He's actually said, do not follow after their ways and customs. Do not assimilate into their sinful, demonic culture. Always do the opposite what Yah says throughout biblical history and on through today's time. We have not listened to nor obeyed the voice of the Most High. We have instead, and this is where the fornication comes in, we have instead yielded to the voices and cravings of our flesh. See, the word of Yah tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 4 through 10. Now, I'm not going to read this out of King James. I'm going to read this out of a different version. The Amplified is going to bring it out more. And I'm going to paraphrase this. I'm going to put it into today's vernacular so we could get a better understanding. It reads like this. The righteous requirement of the law is to be fulfilled in us. Come on, us, Yah's chosen people, who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh. We're not supposed to live according to the flesh. That's following the customs and ways of the heathen nation. That's what we're doing. He says, so we're not supposed to, who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh, guided by worldliness and our sinful nature. Live our lives in the ways of the Spirit, of the Ruach HaKodesh, guided by his power. Okay, he's going to further define it. For those who are living according to the flesh, so you just follow in the flesh, you feel like fornicating, you go do it. You don't have a check and balance. You go do it. It's like for those who are living according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. That's what you're doing. You know you're not gratifying the spirit of Yah, you're gratifying your own body. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says you're sinning against your own body. It says all the other sins is outside the body. But it says fornication, and that's why we're singling it out right now. it's the sin that you're sinning against your own body. And why is Yah so angry with that? Because Yah say that's his temple. But Most High dwelleth not in a temple built, made with man's hands. He said his temple is our body. So we're actually taking Yah's body and joining it with a fornicator. It says we do it to gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, his will and purpose. Now the mind of the flesh is, and so you follow the ways of flesh, of your bodily cravings, it says it's going to end up in death, both now and forever, because it pursues, here's why it's death, because it pursues sin. And what is sin? Transgressing Yah's law. That's right in 1 John, I believe it's 3 and 4. For those of you who believe the law is done away with, that's a lie. It's right there, 1 John 3 and 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. The spiritual well-being that comes from walking with Yah, both now and forever. The mind of the flesh, with its sinful pursuit, is actively hostile to Yah. So when you're walking in fornication, when you're dating Christian brother and sister, when you're dating Hebrew brother and sister, when you guys are dating in the ways of the world and doing everything that the heathens do, partaking of the flesh before the time, physical intimacy outside of the marital covenant, you're going against the will and purpose of Yah. It says you're actually hostile towards Yah. You know, you're shaking your fist up at him. You're hostile against him. It says it does not submit itself to Yah's law, since it cannot. The fleshly nature doesn't have no propensity to submit itself to Yah's law. And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please Yah. So don't think you can fornicate one day and then get up and do the will of Yah the next. It doesn't work like that. It's that you cannot please Yah. So, fornication. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to go into a little of the science. I did some study on the effects of two things. Sin, sexual sin, and pornography. And they pretty much line up line by line. They pretty much parallel each other because they both have a physical response. The physical response is in our brain. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, and then I'm going to let Elder Eber up. So let's talk about fornication, the sin of fornication. Why we're talking about this is so much because this is the sin that is common among all our people. Right now, I'm talking to our people, the descendants of slaves, the Israelites, the true Israelites. Don't look at the other nation. We love to say, but they're doing it too. They're doing it too. We're not talking about them. What did he say in Amos? You only, of all nations, you only have I known. So we're talking about Israel today. Don't point to the other nation. You have went against the will of Yah. He says, do not learn the ways, follow the customs of the other nations. Jeremiah 10 and 2. Of course, we went against it. And so we're actually defiling his temple. This is personal with Yah. So when we sin in a sexual way, here's the thing we do. there's a chemical. It's actually a neurotransmitter called dopamine. What is dopamine? It's in our brain. It gives you that feeling of euphoria, bliss, motivation. It heightens and triggers the go-do-it sensation. Okay, now we're talking about the sin of fornication, so a sexual sin. When you think about fornicating and you're with a man or a woman, let's say you're a man and you're with your so-called girlfriend, another Western concept, you're with your girlfriend and you have opportunity. I don't know where you're at, some place you shouldn't be probably, motel, maybe in a bedroom, and this chemical, dopamine, it gives you that go-do-it sensation. Go do what? Go sin. go sexually sin. And this same sensation is happens in people who watch a lot of pornography. The same thing. And that's why they get hooked on it. Because just like a heroin addict, you want to get that high again. You don't want to feel like you're in heaven one day, one moment, and then the 1 hour, and then the other 23 hours, you feel like you're in the dumps. That's why they're always looking for a fix. And that's why people who fornicate, most of them keep on fornicating. They're just like a heroin addict. They want that fix. They want that dopamine rush. It makes you feel that you receive a pleasurable reward. See, we love pleasure, that pleasure principle. We want, you know, our people love pleasure. That's why you think we go out to nightclubs so much? Shake it down, you know. Why you think we love to get drunk and smoke weed and anything make you feel good? Fornicate. Well, we don't care if it's a sin. This is pleasurable. I just have to deal with y'all later. I'll repent, you know, most of us being Christian. So, you know, you got that free get out of jail card. All you got to do is say, Jesus, forgive me later. You know, I'm starting to feel good. I got that sensation. I'm feeling that euphoria rush, that dopamine. You know, it's telling me to go do it. And that dopamine also has that pleasure reward. It's like that carrot. It's dangling that carrot out in front of you. Oh man, if I just go with the flow, I just go with it, I'm going to feel this pleasurable reward. The same chemical that people who look at a lot of porn, the same chemical is released for those who fornicate. Stay with me. When you fornicate, let's talk about the two ways of sex. There's a sexual sin, and then there's the act of intimacy, sex, ordained by Yah, and that's within the marital bond, within the marital covenant. You think it's the same? You think it's okay? You're saying you still use the same physical part, but it's a world of difference. See, because you're thinking with the flesh. I just read that scripture in Romans, the mind of the flesh thinks fleshly, the mind of spirit thinks spiritually. So you think with the flesh, all you think, oh, well, you're the same part. No, it's a whole world of difference. See, when you're, let's take the sexual sin first. Let's take the fornication, which everybody's gone after. It's a world difference from marriage, because when you're fornicating, when you're engaging in sexual activity outside of the marital bond, the dopamine is released in a different way. It's almost a negative way. In a way that it's actually, now these are people in the science says, it's not me. It actually is rewiring, reprogramming your neurons. You know, like it's like by default. They come out the factory, they're wired one way. A might go to B, B go to C, C go to D. You know, out the factory is like the way Yah meant it to be. But when you put yourself in the filth, when you walk in the sin so much, this chemical is flooding your brain so much, it actually starts short-circuiting and rewiring in different ways. So A is going to D, D is going to A. I mean, D is going to B, and C is going to P. It's rewiring. You're actually reprogramming your brain. And when you reprogram it, you reprogram it to do it over and over again because you're looking like a heroin addict for that pleasurable reward. See, so let's talk about the two ways of sex again. Outside of the marital covenant, that means just plain old fornicating, sinning against Yah, the dopamine release a feeling of what? Excitement. Danger. See, danger ain't always bad to some people. You know, danger could have a perverted good feeling. You know you're doing something wrong. Danger. Exotic. You know, wow, this is wow. This ain't just a regular thing. It's wow, it's exotic. Forbidden. Everybody heard about the forbidden fruit. See, those the things that come along with the sex you act outside of Yah's covenant, outside of the marital bond. So you got the dopamine release and that feeling of excitement, danger, exotica, and forbiddenness. And you put all that together in a soup, you feeling crazy. You feeling like you're on cloud nine. Because you are crazy. Your neurons been rewired. And you're just like a heroin addict. Guess what? You get hooked. That's why you go from one girlfriend to the next, and you do the same thing. You sleep with the next one. That's why you go from one boyfriend to the next, and you sleep with the next one. You sleep with the next one. Everyone you get with, you sleep with. You probably can't remember a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you didn't sleep with, and you don't even know why. These chemicals, the science done broke it down for you. You're hooked. You're an addict. You get hooked on this feeling, this sensation, and it actually, well, we talk about how it rewires you. So you become helpless to it. You be wondering, why don't a crack addict get off the crack? You say, man, what does it take? He done lost his job, lost his car, his wife kicked him out. He's still out there doing it. What does he get? He's hooked. Don't try to make sense out of it. He's hooked. And you're just as bad as that crack at it. Because you're hooked. Yeah, you might have a job. You might not be living out on the street. You might have a car. But you're an addict to. You're an addict to sin. This fleshly sin. So, and you're rewired and you don't even know it. So those dopamines are acting in that perverted way when you're having sex outside of the marital covenant. So how is this destructive? Okay, I'll tell you how it's destructive. Let's say you want to straighten up your act one day. You know, you heard the word and it might convict you. Or, you know, some people act like they just want to be good on their own. They don't so much want to pick up a Bible and hear the word. They say, you know, I feel like I'm going downhill. I'm going to change. I know marriage is right. I want to get married. But you done had your pleasure of sin, and now you just want to straighten up a little bit. Look how this, see, you can reap what you sow. Don't think you're going to sin without reaping. This is how it could just be destructive to you. So you think you're straightening up. Well, when you actually want to do right and get married, the act of physical intimacy, sex, in marriage, is operating under a whole different spirit. See, Yah blesses that bond of marriage. It's ordained by him. So it wasn't operating under that, all that exotica, that forbiddenness and everything, the danger. Those are perverted pleasure senses that gives you the forbidden fruit, exotic sensation. That's when fornication, let me read this. It gives you that exotic sensation that you experienced when you were fornicating. But when you're in marriage, that's no longer at play. You say, oh, man, what does it become boring in marriage? No, not at all. Not at all. But you don't play games with Yah. It's a Yah is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Under Yah's righteous marital covenant, the act of physical intimacy is performed in the spirit of love, warmth, comfort, and nurture. So does that mean it's fun? Of course it's fun. But it's a fulfilling type of pleasure. It's a nurturing type of pleasure. It means the more you do it under the marital act, the more you love each other, the more you nurture and build each other up, the closer you become, the more you trust each other. Comfort, the more you become familiar with each other. All those are good things and righteous things. That's why it says they are no more twain under Yah's eyes, but they are one flesh because they become in one. That's why he said, be fruitful and multiply. He wanted them to get together. He wanted them to be intimate, but under his precious covenant. So it's a whole new spirit at play when you're having sex under the marital act. In the fleshly act, the sinful act, you're getting further and further away from Yah. Because as you rewire your neurons, you rewire the chemicals in your brain, it's actually, you changed it from factory condition. And now you made it this perverted condition. So it wants more and more, just like a crack addict wants more and more. So you're not able, here comes the climax of this, you're not able to enjoy fully the act of intimacy under the marriage covenant. See, some people who have come right out of that filth and try to get right into the marriage, they don't find it fulfilling. And so they might play off to the public, but inwardly, if you look inside their relationship, it's something missing. They've been rewired, and they've tried to put that filthy brain, as you for lack of a better word, under Yah's precious covenant, and they're rewired one way, and Yah said, man, you know, you're supposed to be wired under this factory condition. So, and they come together in the physical act, and it's unfulfilling to them. Why? Because under Yah's covenant, he's not going to give them that danger that they're looking for. He's not going to give them that forbidden fruit that they're looking for. That's what turns them on. What they do, ultimately, they lack interest, and ultimately, they lack performance. A lot of the men who have been in fornication a long time, as well as pornography, a lot of the men have ED, erectile dysfunction, when they have tried to change or reform. They have to go through almost a cold turkey program, a rehabilitation program, where they have to, and I've actually seen this online, where they go cold turkey for sometimes months without sex and without looking at any external stimulus, female stimulus for the men and male stimulus for the women, just to try to rewire those neurons again. That's how devastating sin is. And you see the spiritual thought that made you do the physical act, you see it actually have physical damage. That's why Yah is so much against fornication, because he said every other sin is outside the body. This, you're sinning against your own body. Look at the devastating consequence. It could break up marriages. It could ruin your sex life in marriage. But if you look out in the world today, our people have just gone wild. Everybody's hooking up. Everybody's got a lover, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. Everybody's got somebody who's not their wife or husband. And the wife or husband is out there cheating on somebody else because he's that same guy who's rewired himself, and he's not satisfied in the bed with his wife, and she's not satisfied in the bed with her husband. You could go deeper and deeper down this rabbit hole. That's the effects, the filthy effects, the devastating effects that sin has on our people. And that's why we say, Israel, you have become a nation of whores. And Yah is telling you to repent. This is not normal. Yes, Satan has deceived us to make us feel like having a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a mate, a person outside of marriage, and committing sexual acts just like it's normal. He made us think it's just common. Satan is a liar. He's deceived the whole world. He's definitely deceived our nation. This girlfriend, boyfriend stuff, that was never part of our culture. It wasn't. It was a proud thing for a man to come in to the marriage bed as a virgin, and for the woman to come in to the marriage bed as a virgin, even if they were 30, 40 years old. See, but we think up is down and down is up. We think good is evil and evil is good now. We've bought into the culture of the heathen. And now a talk like this, we don't want to hear it because we don't want that pleasure principle to stop. We don't want that exotica, that danger, that forbidden fruit feeling. We don't want to stop. We want more dopamine. We want more crack, more heroin, more dopamine. But I'm telling you, there's an end. Now, the Bible says the wages of sin, the price for sin, when say the wages of sin, that's a penalty. The penalty you're going to pay for sin is death. And what is sin? Transgression. Transgressing Yah's law. You can't get away with it. You can't fornicate today and think you're going to make the kingdom tomorrow. Elder read that scripture at the beginning. It said, be not deceived. That's the first thing. Because why say that's the first thing? Because that's the first thing we do allow to happen. We deceive ourselves. We think we walk around a girlfriend, boyfriend, just jump in a sack anytime we want. And that's what probably 90% of Israel is doing. Be not deceived. Yah is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm going to give you one remedy, and I hope you take heed. I'm going to let Elder come up. This is your remedy. It says in Yah's word, I believe it's 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, remember I'm talking to Israel today, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. You got to humble yourself to realize what condition you are in. Don't be proud and say, you know, it ain't nothing wrong with this. You know, you're speaking against Yah. That you're rebelling. You've been a warlock. You've been a witch. Humble yourself. Will call by my name, will humble themselves and pray. You do have a problem, so realize you need to pray and seek my face and repent of their sin. You have to be willing to change. You can't get up off your knees and keep doing the same thing. You got to do a complete 180. He said, then, it's a conditional prayer. He said, then, after you do those first parts, then I'll hear your prayer from heaven, and I'll forgive your sin, and I'll heal your land. It also said, today when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So don't keep playing games. There's people going to sleep every night and not waking up. Don't let that be you, Israel. Go ahead, Elder. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 Elder. You know, family, tonight is an awakening moment. And the reason why I say that is because so many of us have done things in our life, and we continue to do it so much, it becomes so natural that we don't consider it to be wrong. We consider it whatever we're doing that is right. But we got to understand what the Bible said about these things that we continue to do that is not right. That is sin. And in this world, sin run rampage throughout this generation, throughout this society. And many of us get caught up in this worldly sin, these worldly things.
and we partake of the sinful nature and the sinful things of the world. Although Yah said, we must come out of her, my people. But we so caught up in it, we get to the point that we enjoy the excitement, it, that we can let loose. We even gone to the point where we're sleeping with animals. Goat, lamb, even chicken. That was amazing when I read that the other day. And see people sleeping with chicken. It was disgusting. Mm. But that is a worldly affair. And you're calling us to repent from all these evil and this wickedness of this world. But yet still, we don't want to come out of it because, and we don't want to do without it. It's hard to live without it now. It said here in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee worrying. Everything that a man does is outside the body. Eldad read that earlier. But he who commit worrying sin against his own body. Family, everything we do that is not of Yah, as the Bible said, it's against our own body. And we got to come to the point where we understood what Yah talking about when he talk about sin against our own body, because there's an outline that is set forth in the scripture in the way that we should walk and the way that we should go. And if we do so, we'll end there walking in the sinful nature. Because if you try hard enough, Yah will give you the strength to overcome your weakness in sin. We don't try hard enough because we fall into sin and we repent. And in a little while, we go back into it. Why is that? It's because we keep thinking about the good time that we may think we may be having. But it's really not a good time because it's not taking us to a good place at the end of time. So it said here, or do you not know that your body is a dwelling place of the set apart spirit? Who is in you, which you have from Yah, and you are not your own? We are not our own family. When we go against Yah, when we do things that's not of Yah, we go against Yah. You know, when we desecrate our body, when we do evil stuff to our body, we inject our body with all these drugs, we tattoo our bodies. None of these things is of Yah. But we do these and think it look good on us. When I look at people who tattoo their body, it's awful. I don't see how they see any beauty in that. There is no beauty in it. Yeah, say you shouldn't do it. Why do it? Touch on Romans, a little bit in Romans here. Because if we do as Yah said, and we follow Yah law's statute and commandment, his Torah, we'll have a perspective of the things that Yah said we should do and the things that we shouldn't do. And if we practice these things, what the scripture points out for us to do, then we'll be in a better place. To worry so much, we would have the faith that we need in order to overcome the obstacle in our life. In this world, we have a lot of obstacles that we have to face, and we cannot cross them alone. Yes, the evil one will make you think, yes, it's okay, you can do it. But I tell your family, you need Yah every step of the way. Only Yah can save you. Only Yah, through these obstacles that we face, these challenges of life that we face, these sins that we commit continuously, only Yah can give us that overcoming that we need to overcome the sin of our life. There's no one else. So if man promised you that they can do certain things, and Yah said, this is the way, who do you choose? Man or Yah? Too many times we chose man, and all man do is lead you astray. We got to get real, family, with life, and understood that we are at the end time. There's no more time to listen to man. It's time to listen to Yah. Yah had leave his instruction for us to follow. Yes, man take his instruction and twist it to be their own. But we have to depend on Yah when we read this book. Pray about it so he can direct our path. He and he alone can direct our path. He said here in Romans, or do you not know, brother, for I speak to those knowing the Torah, that the Torah rules over a man as long as he lives. Not part of the way, not couple of days. As long as we live, family, the Torah is dear for us to follow. And when you step out of line with the Torah, you step out of line with Yah. And I want you to follow, know that, because they have so much strange teaching out there tell you that Yah law's 13 commandment is done away with. But he just said here, it with us until we die. So why aren't we not following it? Why aren't we not following it? Why are we doing our own thing? Huh? Why are we misinterpreting the scripture and letting your people astray? For the married woman has been bound by Torah to the living husband. The husband dies, she is released from the Torah concerning her husband. So then, while her husband lives, she shall be called an adulteress. If she becomes another man, but if her husband dies, she is free from that part of the Torah, so that she is not an adulteress, having become another man. So, my brother, you also were put to death to the Torah, to the body of Messiah, for you to become another's. The one who was raised from the dead, that